What's going on, man?
Not much. It's my birthday, almost.
Almost, yeah. I was like, Christina gave me all those gifts. I'm like, this fucker's birthday is tomorrow.
Yeah, well, fuck it. She never, well, here's what's funny is she's never ever been able to give me my birthday present on time. She always gives it to me early because she can't wait.
Okay,
And
I get that.
she got me something special this year, but it's not ready, so that's become my Christmas present. So she just went and bought
Okay.
me some stuff that she knew I would like, and I got it early because, yet again, I got it early.
Yeah.
Alright, what do you want to talk about today?
You want to start with Sunny? I think that was the one thing like that was consensus between both of us. We wanted to talk about It's Always Sunny.
Let's build up to Sunny. I got some quick
You
takes
gonna build
first.
up? All right. Okay. So then I want to hit that the Texans owner Bob McNair has passed away.
Oh man, why you gotta bring that up? Like, what are we gonna say, man?
We should roast this bitch.
All right, fuck it. I was gonna try to just avoid doing that, but I guess he's been
No.
dead 24 hours. We're not
Yeah,
doing
no. Fuck Bob McNair.
it.
Bob McNair is legitimate the worst owner in Houston sports franchise history, and that includes the list. That list has like Drayton McLean on it. Like Bob McNair is the fucking worst. And I really wanted to hit on it because when I was like Deadspin did like a quick little thing on it, and the first comment was, "Oh, looks like hell has a new angel," which I thought was perfect.
Oh man,
Yeah.
or it looks like hell has a new inmate.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. I don't feel. I'm not the type that feels the need to roast people I don't like when they're dead. I'm usually just like, don't do you no more.
I would have roasted him while he was alive, but it's more like I also want to dance on his grave.
Well, go ahead, man. I ain't stopping you.
No, I
I'll
mean,
buy you some dance shoes.
no, it's just fuck that guy.
Yeah, no, Bob McNair's never had a big role in my life because I'm not a big football fan, and he's actually one of the reasons I'm not a football fan. I don't want to. I didn't like cheering for a team that was attached to that jerk, that jagoff. He's the reason I gave up the Texans. Like, ultimately, he pushed me over the edge. I mean, I've talked about how much I'm disappointed with football culture on this pod before, but Bob McNair being my owner pushed me over the edge. I was like, I don't want any part of this. So, I mean, fuck them. The world is no poorer for having lost them.
No. Although it was poor for having him.
On the flip side of that, we lost Stan Lee, though.
We did lose Stan Lee, and now he's not without his own problems, but
No.
nothing in the scale of Bob McNair.
No, but still, Stan Lee, he just, I don't know, he meant a lot to me personally, just because I grew up reading comics. I'm the quintessential son of immigrants, reading comic books, when his parents weren't watching, and Stan Lee had such a profound effect on who I am as a person that, rest in power, Stan Lee.
Hey, Stanley half created what I think is the greatest comic book character of all time, and I think that's Spider-Man.
Yeah, you said that, and I was thinking about it. Spider-Man, the greatest character of all time. And I think the answer is, I think clearly yes. He's just so great. He's a teenager, so people forget, he was the first solo teenage character. Every other teenage character was a sidekick or not really a teenager, like Captain Marvel, like he is but he isn't, or a part of a team like Johnny Storm, right? He's the first that I can think of solo teenage superhero. And just as a allegory for teenagedom, or metaphor, whatever you want to call it, he's the perfect teenager, right? He just wants more power and authority. He wants people to listen to him. I'm smarter than everybody, Peter Parker, as a kid in the comics, was kind of like obnoxious, actually, when he first starts out. And but then he realizes he gets his voice. It's almost like a monkey's paw story. And Spider-Man works at its best when it has this monkey's paw logic to it, right? Where, all right, we gave you the thing you wished for, but it's gonna blow up in your face. You're gonna wish you didn't have it, right? And that if that's not a metaphor for adulthood, I don't know what is. Like adulthood is just a monkey's paw till one of those fingers finally kills you, wishing you.
He's the first superhero who was actually human.
Yeah, felt like a regular ass person.
He was a real person. Yeah, like this is what it would be like for a real person. Like, and his world felt realer, you know, like in the span of comic books, but because like there are consequences to his actions and things.
Well, remember where Stanley's writing from? He's you know, poor Jewish guy who can't get published in literary magazines, partly because he's Jewish, and he just starts writing comics. And you know, we talk about Spider-Man, and you're right, it's fucking Spider-Man. He's the best. Yeah. But I think a character that. The characters that deserve some love in this particular moment are the Fantastic Four.
Yep.
Because Stan Lee almost quit writing comics until the Fantastic Four came along. And he got to do something that wasn't just a ripoff of what DC was doing. And you know what I learned recently?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic Four, for the first three issues, they don't have any costumes on the cover of the comics. They just look like regular people. Because they were technically still Timely Comics, and Timely Comics had a third-party contract agreement. Kind of the way some companies will have with Amazon to publish their stuff through Amazon. But it was with DC, and DC wouldn't let other people publish superhero comics, so they disguised it as a non-superhero comic. It starts off looking like a sci-fi comic, and then it's such a hit, they just put them in their costumes. And they were like, well, it's a hit, so you're not going to stop publishing it.
Yeah.
But they totally flew in under the radar. And then DC ended up, you know, funding their greatest competitor.
Yeah.
So go Stan Lee for sticking it to DC before any of us even knew we wanted that.
And just like the effect Stan Lee's had on pop culture, we don't get the MCU without Stan Lee. Like, and that's the most powerful thing in pop culture right now. And just, man, that guy has a great legacy.
Right? Think about that, which is a legacy. Yeah. To be writing on the margins of culture and then to be appreciated in your lifetime. Right?
Because
Kirby, I think, in terms of, if I can use an allusion to say the painting world, Kirby is like Van Gogh. I don't think people are really appreciated him until he died. I mean, he had fans, obviously. His comics did well in the moments. Like, he had fans. That's not to say that he didn't die in obscurity like Van Gogh. But I don't think his genius was appreciated until after he was gone.
No, not in his life, yeah. Now, I still don't think he's appreciated enough.
No, he's not. He's not at all. And I was pleased to see how much Kirby would get brought up during Stan Lee's death. Because they had their beefs, but they were friends, if not frenemies, at the very least. You know, over the fact that Marvel owned all of Jack Kirby's artwork and wouldn't give it back.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's plenty of criticisms to be made about Stan Lee, but I think overall the good outweighs the bad. And
oh yeah.
And he's just awesome to it's awesome to see him. It's awesome to see that somebody make it to that extent that they can make it long enough, because he was in his 90s when he died, to be revered. It's just cool to see.
Yeah. 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 It was like. Stan Lee went from being like nerds only knew him to everybody knows who Stan Lee is. Like, everyone knows who Stan Lee is. Like, he's huge. He was one of the biggest celebrities in the world. And everyone has been affected in some way by one of his characters.
Right. He's just, and there's something for everybody. And I think even today in this sort of moment with the resurgence of the MCU, the vitality of those characters is just so obvious. Like him and Kirby. Yeah. Like, you can't, you know, you gotta, I think you feel it's, you know, you gotta always, like you said, you gotta mention Kirby too. They're just, and Ditko too.
Yeah. And he also passed this year.
Yeah, we lost Ditko too. The creator
of Spider-Man passed the same year.
Yeah, man. I don't know if that makes me feel old or young.
I don't know. Yeah. They were pretty old.
But man, yeah. R.I.P. man.
Yeah.
Ditko and
the man, Stan the man.
Stan the man. And, yeah. Know. Besides that, I have a question for you. Random question.
Okay. All right.
I told you. I said let's come up with some random holiday questions. Here's my random holiday question.
Okay.
Is Thanksgiving the most bullshit holiday that we have? And if not, what is? I have some other contenders. I'm going to argue for Thanksgiving being the most bullshit one. Other contenders, I think obvious contenders, are Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Columbus Day.
Columbus Day was my first thought.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's any other ones that are that just terrible. Just almost pointless, right? Because think about what a holiday is. Holidays is some kind of, you know, a day of reverence for that usually is revering some kind of cultural myth, right? Some kind of cultural narrative. Either historical one, and those are based on a person, so like Martin Luther King Day, right? Or even Christmas.
Yeah.
And then you have the ones that are more sort of honoring a concept, right? Like Veterans Day, right? The idea of service to your country.
Yeah.
And all of those are also usually propagating some American cultural myth. So like Veterans Day and Memorial Day are all about how, you know, war is noble, basically.
Yeah.
And Martin Luther King Day, civil rights, Christmas, Christianity, and Christian values. At least Christmas Day, specifically. Christmas season, as an era, is the most obnoxious because it lasts 5 weeks. But a single day, though, I think Thanksgiving is the most garbage one. But where do you go? Where's your head at with that?
Okay, I still lean Columbus Day, but Columbus Day isn't one of the big ones. Like, it's not even a day most people get off work. Of the majors, like I consider the majors Christmas, Thanksgiving, and the 4th of July and New Year's.
Man, Thanksgiving is like, so garbage.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is out of those four. It's probably the worst. It's probably the worst. But I enjoy Thanksgiving because I enjoy eating.
Well, I was going to say, the second part of the sort of, like, call it what makes a holiday is rituals attached to it.
Yeah, and it's the only time of year I get that particular set of food. Like, for some reason, because we Thanksgiving so hard, we're like, we can never eat this any other time of year.
Man, see, that's where I disagree. I don't think Thanksgiving dinner is that different from Christmas dinner.
It's not. Okay, so you get it twice.
Yeah.
You get it twice, but sometimes, like, you get to Christmas and people are fucking sick of it.
Right,
like, you say,
right.
I don't want turkey, I don't want... Because you have a week's worth of food at Thanksgiving, and then it's just like, nope, just that week.
Yeah, no,
but I don't know.
Yeah, wait, sidebar for what you just mentioned. Yeah. Like, so my birthday's tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if I said that you had to set aside all of November only to celebrate my birthday. I don't care what else you got going on. All of November, you have to celebrate my birthday, right? And then you say, but Jorge, that's also fucking Sarah's birthday. No.
Yeah.
No one else can have a birthday while I'm having my birthday. Well, it's technically not the same day. I said the whole month. The whole fucking month, you have to celebrate my goddamn birthday. If you had a friend like that, you would fucking hate that friend. Maybe you might give in to the novelty once, like, ha ha ha, that's funny, okay. But then after that, after they get sort of bullishly insistent, you would just already stop fucking with that guy, right?
Yeah.
Nah. What about that sounds like Jesus or what Jesus would want, right? Like,
yeah, it's the exact opposite.
It's the grossest. Christmas Day is awesome because it's all the best parts of Thanksgiving plus presents. And I love giving presents, right?
Plus you get gifts, yeah.
It's just Thanksgiving, it's just upgraded Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is also very insulting to the native population.
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah.
I'm going to take down some of these other bullshit holidays. Valentine's Day, we all know, is fucking just made by Hallmark.
I mean, Valentine's Day isn't a real holiday. That's just something like marketing one. Same with Mother's Day and Father's Day.
There's two criteria, though, right? There's the cultural myth and origin, and then there's the ritual. Valentine's Day, what's the ritual of Valentine's Day? A bunch of shit Mylar balloons and a date in the middle of the week when it's cold outside. I live in where it's cold, so, like, we don't really want to do anything. Like, Valentine's Day is just... You can tell they picked February because nothing else was going on in February, right?
Yeah.
And the rituals are garbage.
Yeah.
Right?
But, I you know what? To play devil advocate here, like, I think Valentine's Day might exist because dudes suck. And, like... Chicks kind of found a way to get us to do this kind of thing once a year. Like, we got duped.
Can we link this to Black History Month? Be like, all right, well, we're getting it all out of the way in 1 month.
Yeah.
Like, I bet you there's some holiday we don't know about, like Women's Suffrage Day. It's also in February. Let's just get this shit over with, right? The shortest month, divvy up amongst yourselves, right? And, I'll say this though, Valentine's Day though does offer opportunities to be romantic. The ritual, even though it's sort of loosely defined, you know, hearts and candies and dates, it can be turned into something. Right?
Yeah.
So next up on the list is Columbus Day. Obviously, or we should be called fucking Genocide Day, because that's what it really is.
Some people have changed it to Indigenous Population or Indigenous Peoples Day. Like, that's been a thing people have done recently.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's changed the name.
I see that. I would be interested to see if that becomes an actual holiday, what its rituals are. Because right now it's not really a holiday because a holiday has rituals, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to start the process of rebranding it and transforming it into something new, and I'm for it. I don't know what Native American-esque rituals we could do that isn't just going to be like appropriative or invite Redface, but hey, figure it out. I'm down. I'd much rather do that.
Yeah. Let's just keep it simple and get drunk.
But Columbus Day, I'll say this about Columbus Day. Think about also, I think this matters too, is when in the year it happens. It happens at the beginning of October, so it's got the beginning of fall going for it. And it, in terms of, I would say actually its nearest competitor would actually not be that, but Halloween. Halloween's awesome, right? Halloween is, I would say, the best holiday. We should have, we should be no work on November 1st. Columbus Day has that going for it, and Italian people give a shit about it, so there's somebody who cares about this, I think also matters. Like, yeah. As much as I think they're wrong, somebody would care if we got rid of Columbus Day. I suspect people wouldn't really care if we got rid of Columbus Day, if what instead we did was just keep the real thing and have Friday off so people can just have Black Friday. Because that's what it really is anyway.
Yeah.
All Thanksgiving Day is really Black Friday. So Thanksgiving, its origins, we were nice to the Native Americans. Like, oh, there's a self-serving holiday for us to use, right? And it wasn't even us.
It's not even that. It's they were nice to us.
Yeah.
Not us, but they were nice to the pilgrims. That's the holiday.
Actually, and what you said, that's even better. Not us. It's fucking for the, if they're celebrating something that happened to British people, that makes me like it even less. It's not even American. Like, why are we doing this? It's so garbage. And what's our ritual? Eat too much in the middle of the day and just sit around awkwardly watching football you don't care about with people you're kind of over.
Yeah,
like it's the worst ritual. Let's sit here physically and socially uncomfortable until one of us is tired enough to be like, fuck it, I'm gonna be the first one to leave. Because that's the only thing. No one wants to be the first person to leave.
But see, here's what Thanksgiving has going for it. It's on the right day. Like it's the only holiday the only major holiday that's always on the same day. It's always a Thursday.
Fourth Thursday.
So you know it's always gonna be a short week. And I think it has that going for it. Like, it can't really fuck up a week because it's always going to be there on that Thursday. Where sometimes Christmas is on a Monday and it just kind of sucks. I think it's the only one that really has that going for it, except for like Memorial Day or Labor Day. Like, those are always a Monday, so that's nice. But I think Thanksgiving, like, being at the end of the week, so you know it's a short week, like, you go in Monday, work Wednesday maybe, and then you're off Thursday, Friday, like, that's fucking nice. The ripoff is it's in the goddamn winter.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks. There's snow underground here. Hey, you brought up Labor Day. Labor Day might be the actual good Thanksgiving. Instead of turkey, you eat barbecue. You might go to the beach. It's the end of summer. You get Monday off, which I would argue is better than Friday. And on top of that, it's sort of like what you said, like, all right, you can have a day, ladies. All right, you can have a day, people who work hard, right? Yeah. So even that, I'm like, hey, man, I guess I'll take a day over no days. But yeah. Thanksgiving, I mean, I don't know. Who are we celebrating?
Food. I mean, there are people who, like, it's a good day to be thankful and appreciative to people in your lives. Not that we use it for that, but it's a good day for that, for the few who do use that.
Well, I was going to say, that might be the one good thing of it, is that it's always in the same week as my birthday. And that's a good reason for y'all to be giving thanks.
Yeah.
In fact, from here on out, I insist you only celebrate my birthday the week of Thanksgiving.
I think we only can do that.
No, I mean only me for the whole week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Touché, though.
Yeah. What else do we got? You want to go into climate change?
Okay. That's a.
I think some. I just.
Picked I can't tell.
You said pig tacos. I'm like, what are the few things I'm thinking about the most?
All right, fuck it. Let's talk about climate change. I saw that they tried to bury the report on Black Friday. I haven't read it, but I mean, you know what it says. It turns out scientists are right.
Yeah, it's dire. I saw something where someone was like, asking for climate change radicals is disrespectful to radicals because we should be more radical because this is so, it's happening so soon. Like, it's gonna, like, in the next 10 years, like, we're gonna be very upset that we did nothing 35 years ago, which is where we should be now. It's just, it's so frustrating that we're never going to do anything about this.
Well, that's what happens when you vote for a bunch of old-ass politicians who don't expect to be alive when this shit goes down.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true. Yeah. But even, like, we even did a whole episode where we were trying to think about things that we could do to help out, and even that's not enough. Like, each of us, it's bigger than us. So if each of us do drastic steps, it's still not enough.
Tell me if you think that this is what I'm about to say is being idealistic or pessimistic, because it's one or the other, okay. And I can't tell which one it is. Everything you just said about lowering your carbon footprint might not matter, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing it anyway, because when we all die in the horrible explosion or atmospheric collision or whatever happens that kills us all, and we all have to go up and answer for ourselves to God, and God's like, what the fuck happened? Like, I gave you literal paradise. I'm going to be in the back. I'm going to be the first one. I'm going to sell all y'all motherfuckers out. I'm going to raise my hand and be like, was it me, God? I did my bit. Like, I'm only going to do it. I don't think it's going to work. I'm just covering my ass.
Yeah.
And I'm militant about it. You can ask Christina, like, militant in the way you just said isn't really militant. In the sense that I'm just like, hey, can we recycle this? Let's wash it out. That's about it. That's how crazy I get about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I try. Man, I try. I'm going to buy an electric car when I can. I'm going to get solar panels when I own a house. I'm going to do my bit, but I don't think it's going to work either. I'm just covering my ass. No. And I think that that's a decent enough motivation.
Maybe. It's so convenient to not do anything. Like, it's so convenient. It's so convenient to fucking drive a car that wastes a lot of gas every damn day. Like, it's just so convenient to do all this shit and order from Amazon. Like, just ordering from Amazon.
Yeah.
With 2-day shipping is terrible for the environment.
Well, I'll tell you what. This sort of brings up perhaps a side conversation. We can talk about it now or not. New Year's resolutions. Yeah. One of my New Year's resolutions is to kill my Amazon Prime account. I just switched to monthly and after this Christmas because of my Christmas presents.
Yeah.
January 1st, I'm going to cancel my Amazon Prime.
Wow.
I don't know if I could do it. I'm forcing myself. Christina's on the fence. Convenient. I do have a lot of like marriage privilege in the sense that I can do things
she
like
she has it.
Oh, yeah. I don't need Facebook again. I deleted it and she's just keeping me informed, right? So yeah. I'm going to delete my Prime account and she's on the fence about deleting hers. Although I told her she should, but I'm definitely not. I'm not deleting the account. I'm just deleting the privileges. I'm canceling the subscription. I'll still have my account and everything I bought. So I'll still use Amazon for this or that, usually mostly for digital stuff, but it'll be significantly reduced. Cause right now I'm buying shit like Lysol wipes.
Yeah.
Cause fucking fat kids deals. Just the fat kids deals.
Bringing up Amazon though, at least I watched Hasan Minhaj's show, by the way.
Oh yeah,
talked about it on here. I fucking love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fucking great, right?
Yeah, it's fucking great. Like, I'm hooked on it.
Yeah, I showed the affirmative action ones in my Asian Am class. Yeah, they were like, oh,
it's
shit.
It's fucking great. His Amazon breakdown was really good as well, and it just brings up that question: like, should we stop fucking with Amazon?
Oh, bro, I was glad Houston did not get the HQ.
Oh, me too. But the whole thing was rigged. Like, there was no chance it was going to be in Texas. Staff members already knew the two spots it was going to be in, and you know why? Because his two houses are 20 minutes away from those locations. That's how Bezos picked this shit. He picked it because, like, Scott Galloway on Twitter, I fucking love him. He called this shit months ago. He's like, one, this is a farce. Two, it's either going to be in D.C. or in New York because he has a house here and a house here. And then the fucker picked both.
So question, because I wasn't following it too closely. What were the people doing? Were they flying him out and whining and dining them?
Yes, they were whining and dining them. They were making all these. So here's what really happened. Amazon knew where they wanted their two factories to be. They leveraged other states to get the two states they wanted to be in to offer more shit.
Ah, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So they come to Texas. Oh, we'll give you $1 billion in tax breaks. We'll also give you public transportation. We'll set up free transportation for you. Oh, well, Texas is offering me this.
How much?
That's literally what they did.
How much of this do you think? So one thing, if he's just using this to wine and dine into sort of negotiating tactic, like, hey, game recognizes game. That's well done. You know, I'm glad we didn't lose. But it makes me wonder, because you mentioned Texas, if it was that well known, and you got to imagine that if Scott Galloway knew, plenty of other insiders also knew. Mm-hmm. Put those dots together.
All the Amazon employees knew, because they're being now right. They're being tried for insider trading because they bought property.
What do you think the odds are that the Texas group basically said, like, we're not going to win, but let's fuck New York a little? And that's what they did. Because I feel like that's a real Texas move.
And they might have. They very well. But see, like, some states are desperate for this. Politicians are desperate for shit like this.
Yeah, yeah. Job creation.
So they could have actually just been bidding super low, hoping they still had a chance. Hmm. Just like, if I can give this, 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 and this, who cares how many children I fuck over? I'm the guy who brought Amazon here. I can say I brought X amount of jobs when those jobs are people who are moving there with Amazon. It's not new jobs if you bring new people too.
How much further away are we from Amazon Prime ISD? Bezos Middle School.
That's very close, I think. Oof. Well, I don't know. Is there any money in kids other than working?
There's money in parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ugh. But yeah, fuck you. Fuck Amazon.
Yeah.
But I won't be. I can't stop. Like, one, they offer the best price on goods. Like, they really do. Like, most deals I find, fat kid deals, is usually an Amazon link. And if it's not Amazon, it's eBay.
Yeah.
But it's mostly Amazon. It's mostly a great deal on Amazon. It's convenient as fuck. It really is convenient as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I'm already feeling that. What you're just saying. Yeah. But I'm already, like, I'm not fearing it, but I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm really going to do this. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to cancel it. I'm going to cancel it January 1st. It's a done deal. I'll let you know how it goes. But
please.
I have to say,
you're going to miss all their hit shows.
It's yeah, what do they even have?
I don't know.
All right, so you want to talk about Always Sunny?
Yeah. Yeah, what you think of the finale?
Oh, man. Well, okay, so I don't know what... there's so much fucking going on in that fucking finale. Yeah. I can't believe... All right, I'll tell you the thing that impressed me the most. The fucking Frank and the blood collecting in his face.
Yeah.
And then he lets it all bleed all over his shirt and he feels better.
Yeah.
As a metaphor for Mac. That was the most... That talk about serious / absurdness, because it's such an absurd metaphor. Yeah. It's so gross and ridiculous. And they're building it up so hard. They're making sure you notice. Like, what is going on with this nose narrative in the middle of all this? It actually distracted me. Like, mm-hmm. I knew they were doing something with Frank's nose that was going to be important. A plot device, perhaps? I didn't know what. I didn't realize it was going to be like... I didn't expect Epic Nosebleed to be epiphanic. Like, I didn't see that coming at all. That's the part that was the most weirdly intriguing to me. Then, of course, there's the dancing, which is fucking, like, actually pretty fucking beautiful. And I don't watch ballet or interpretive dance, really. And so one thing I'd say I'd noticed the whole season is that the season felt... There was a lot of, like, trapped or in a box or one stage episodes. Like, there's Charlie getting trapped, and he did in the Home Alone one, Charlie's Home Alone.
Yeah.
There's the Super Bowl one, which is only, like, in two spaces. Mm-hmm. There's a couple like that. And I thought that it came off like, I thought it was because people had really sort of, and this could be both, people, because Dennis was doing, you know, AP Bio, and he's trying shows, to be a book, yeah. That part of it was because people's film schedules, and What's Her Name is on the mix, so they just had different schedules, so they just, who do we have this week? We'll do an episode with them, so because of that, I don't know, staging must have been modest, because you couldn't go on location as much, right? Because they love to go on location. So they didn't do that that much this season. So I thought at first that it was because people's schedules, which might also be true. But then I saw that final scene, actually that whole last episode, it's more of a classic Always Sunny. They're going to multiple places, they're shooting on location. And then I saw that last dance scene, and I was like, this is why the season looks so cheap. You blew all your budget on this.
Yeah, on that one dance
scene. Because it's filmed like...
It was worth it.
Yeah, it was filmed like in IMAX. It was like HD. It was like, what the fuck is this? It's never looked this good. Yeah. And I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop and for this to sort of go haywire.
I always expected a joke. I was expecting, when's the joke?
Yeah, when's
the whole time. I'm like, all right, man, what's the joke going to be at the end of this?
Right, because it made me think of the prom episode where it's this amazing dance and it's so affirming, and then you see it, but then you realize that's not what they really look like, and they look ridiculous. I almost think it's a corrective of that episode, because that episode should have ended with their triumph. That episode is a classic example of what I think is a bad Always Sunny episode, where we're out of ideas, so we're going to trash every character as much as we can. And just do that and just debase our characters, but I'm here for them. They're my protagonists, for better or worse. Episodes where the gang loses completely are bad episodes. Somebody needs to win. The best ones are where one claims victory over another, so you get both. You get both impulses. You get to debase one person but elevate another. This one doesn't do either. They elevates both Frank and elevates Frank morally, or perhaps socially. And of course, it elevates Mac by giving him this amazing visual moment. So I love all that, but I actually think they did do the joke. It's his dad walking out in the middle of it, but they didn't. But they kept going, and they had the elevation at the end. And I thought that was, in a way, that was so oddly affirming, almost out of character for the show, but that still managed to feel earned. I think if your characters are always losing. It's the opposite of Superman. If he can't win, why am I? If he can't lose, why am I cheering for him? If they can't win, why am I cheering for him? Like, if winning isn't even an option, like, no one's cheering for the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. They may be supporting them, but they're not cheering for them because they're not. Their victory is off the table. So I like that they did that. So at the end of the day, I gotta watch it again, but because I was so captivated by Frank's bloody nose. I was so crazy. I wasn't expecting that. I knew the basic premise. I knew that this was about Mac accepting his gay self, and that it was going to end in some dance number people were talking about. But I had no idea beyond that.
Okay.
I did not know the Frank thing was coming, and I also loved the Charlie sort of, Always Sunny is great about these sort of like what I call asterisk moments, where they call out themselves slightly. Sometimes they spend a whole episode doing it, but sometimes they'll just give one joke that punctuates, like, yeah, we're aware how stupid this is. And it's when Charlie said, like, just get Dennis to dance on the floor. Like, no, he's not gay. We need an authentic gay. We're going to look ridiculous. The media will be talking about it. It has to be an authentic gay person. And Mac, of course, is straight in real life. So they sort of called out their own, like, hypocrisy. It actually brings up a real interesting question. I'd love to ask a gay person, like, can a straight person tell a responsible queer story? Because they sort of got forced into this because they were making gay jokes their whole life, right? And they've had this conversation as the show has matured, like, oh shit, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. Outside of the show, all of them are big gay rights activists now. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. It's clearly appropriation. It's not his experience, but it seems to be well rendered, so I don't know. I mean, what do you think? What were your thoughts?
So, I agree with most of what you said. The biggest thing, so I didn't know anything going in. I didn't know what to expect. So I'm watching it, and then the first 15 minutes or so are standard Sunny. It's just like a standard Sunny. Frank's gross.
Yeah,
they have a scheme. Max uncomfortable.
Max closeted.
Yeah, and
there's a scheme.
Yeah, it's a scheme. Like, it's just Sunny by numbers.
Yeah.
And then the dance thing started, and, like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, wow, okay, this is beautiful, this is beautiful. And then in the middle of it, like, I'm still watching it, and it's going. I'm like, who would have thought this show 10 years ago could do something like this.
Or even have the idea or the impulse.
Yeah. Like, when I start, like, I've been watching Sonny since the first time it came on TV.
Yep.
That show, Gun that Fever. Episode. You, no.
Oh, no.
It was the Gang Gets Racist.
The Gang Gets Racist.
Yeah, that was the first. Who'd have thought that show could do this?
Yeah.
and it not feel unearned?
No.
Because, like, it's earned. Like, Max had a legit journey to becoming a gay man.
Yeah.
In the last two seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, and I can't think of a show that knows its characters better than It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Like, those guys know those characters. Like, you can't do, sometimes it's hard to divorce the actor from the character because they're so good at those characters. Like, do you ever watch their bloopers?
No.
Go on YouTube and just watch some of the bloopers and watch them go out of character into character. It's amazing because they're laughing the whole time. Like,
I bet.
You could tell, one, these people love working together, and two, like, this, it's fucking the most fun making this show because it looks like it would be the most fun making this
Actually,
show.
Actually, you know, it's funny you said that. Always Sunny for me in my love affair with it, because I was there too. I watched The Gang Gets Racist, yeah, and Gun Fever, yeah, and all those early episodes. And Mac Bang's Dennis's Mom is season two, but I watched that whole first little mini season.
Yeah.
And the one thing I thought is, and because they are our age, they're in their late 30s, early 40s, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I first came on, I was like, this is like that time where four drunk friends are hanging around a bar or somebody's patio or smoking a bowl, and they're like, man, we should make a show. Mm-hmm. How many times have you had that conversation? We should make a show based on, yeah, us. We should be filming this. We're the funniest guys at work. You know, that kind of moment, you know?
Yep.
And these guys did it, and they were right. Because it's not right. Just exactly, obviously, that. It's also the kind of show you and me would have made in our 20s.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm jealous.
Yeah. Like, commenting gracelessly and loudly on touch-button issues in a way that I guess you're right, but, man... like, you could probably use an editor, but thank God they never had one, right?
No.
Yeah, we got him unfiltered. And it's just matured into this thing. So on the one level, am I surprised it got here? Shocked. On the other hand, what you said, it feels unearned. It also feels like its natural endpoint. Like, when you, yeah, look at the scope of Always Sunny, like, I think a great question that I don't think I'm ready to debate here, but I'll maybe put on your radar is, yeah, you know, we love to do who would wins, right? Who would win in terms, yeah, of GOAT, like, you know, comment, satire, experimentation, etc. I think Always Sunny's obvious rival, they're akin to their Ryu in either way, whoever you want to assign to which, mm-hmm, one, would be South Park.
Yeah.
Right? So which, yeah, who's the better, like, cultural troll, right? South Park or Always Sunny?
Yeah. That's a good one. So, I watch both shows weekly as they air. And they're the only two shows I do that with, really, except for that and The Good Place. They're the only shows I watch like that. If you've watched both of them, they've both had the sort of same reflection on their seasons. Like South Park, like they, for the last 3 years, they've pretty much been apologizing for the first 15 years of South Park.
Yeah.
Like, that's legit. Like, they're like, cause like, and a lot of people misread what they're doing with PC Principle. Like,
right,
and with like certain of the things, like a lot of people are getting around, like, no, they're kind of apologizing. Like, they're apologizing.
Right. They're trying to find a way to, they're apologizing for the ways they might have contributed to where we are now.
Exactly. Right. Especially in like the last few episodes with the whole Man Bear Pig thing. That was like, oh yeah, like we were way wrong on that one.
Yeah.
But
I love that. I love that they have, yeah, that sort of integrity.
And they've had time to do it. But Sonny's also been doing the same,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, through Mac, I think.
Yeah, through Mac and, like, the gang, like, when they did the, where they had the musical, the Wiz musical, where they turned into black people. like that.
Did,
yeah,
you like that one?
I fucking love that.
Some people
one.
Did not like that one. I'm like, no, this is the only story white people are allowed to tell about Black Lives Matter. Like, holy fuck, I have no idea what this is like. Like, and I don't want to find out what it's like, you know? Like, it's so perfect. It's so perfect.
Yeah, that episode was great.
It was amazing.
I think Sonny's done it better, though. But only because I think, you know how South Park is. South Park also goes through, like, they're always swinging, but South Park will go through a year where it's like, this just ain't working.
Yeah,
like,
they'll
this
go,
whole year's not working.
They'll slump.
Yeah, and then there's like, everything's working this year. or they'll have a year that starts hot and loses momentum real quick.
Right, right. They're like Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Or Eric Gordon, those like hot streaky shooters.
Yeah. Here's a 40-point quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll never see a 40-point quarter from Always Sunny. No. You may have seen, you'll see a couple 50-point games. Mm-hmm. Right? But a 40-point, I don't know what that equivalent would be. This analogy is starting to get a little obscure. But, but somebody whose numbers are just sort of consistent but never impressive, that would be Always Sunny. Like, mm-hmm. like their consistency is what's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they both actually come on at the exact same time.
Really?
Wednesday night, Wednesday nights at 9 Central.
No, I usually catch up once a month. It's one of those shows where, like, there's nothing less satisfying than one episode of South Park or one episode of Always Sunny. Yeah. I need three or four.
Yeah. Yeah. And now they make them, like, their serial, South Park is, like, serialized now.
Right, right.
So you need to watch them in a row. So, like, they've made it for the binge crowd now.
Right. Probably easier for them because they binge make it anyway.
Yeah, and it also, like, it gave them, like, some new creative life in this show, because it had gotten stale. Like, they had that one really great year when they made Mormon, and then, like, after that it got really stale. And now they've lost Garrison, they can't really use him anymore, that whole thing kind of started strong and then just didn't work out. Of the two shows, I think Sunny is a little bit better. To me, like, I prefer Sunny a little bit more. I think Sunny's been more consistent the last 3-4 years than South Park has. All time, though, it's probably still South Park.
Want to talk NBA?
Yeah. Rockets are playing in a little bit.
Yeah, we're playing. I said I wanted to be 500 by Thanksgiving. We are 500 by Thanksgiving. I said I wouldn't.
We're still over, I think.
Yeah,
right?
A game over.
Yeah.
I'd say I wouldn't be worried if we were on Thanksgiving. I said that we were just slow start because contract years were up and because the season started early and everybody came back out of shape. And I thought that we wouldn't really know who the Rockets were until Thanksgiving. And I think we're here, and I think they're fine.
I think they're fine, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're fine. They look like the Rockets. They look like last year's team.
Right.
Capella's been playing out of his goddamn mind.
Right. Because he lost the weight.
Yeah, like, and Harden still hasn't. Harden still's got the dad bod.
He's still puffing and puffing a little bit, but he's always had the dad bod.
But he's still putting up insane stats. He's leading the league in scoring.
Yeah. Yeah, grow quietly, right. Leading the league in scoring.
Yeah, nobody's talking about it. He's putting up MVP-level numbers, but he won last year, so he's not in the
right. We're used to this now.
Yeah.
Which is why it's great to have him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think we're one trade away, and this is going to be a big talk. I want to talk NBA trades because there's been so much in the news about trades.
Yeah.
So I think we're one trade away from being – I don't want to say unbeatable because that's inviting disaster, but, you know, we're not the Titanic, but I think we're one player away from being, like, obviously the favorites, even if people don't want to admit it. And I don't even think it's an all-star. I think it might be, like, a mid-level player, like, where a Kent Bazemore away.
So, we're playing Cleveland tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys is a Rocket by the end of next week.
Who, though?
Probably Korver.
I guess Korver. I mean, he'd be good for the regular season.
I could see Korver. I could even see JR. I could even see JR coming to the Rockets.
I don't want JR. I don't want Carmelo Anthony Jr.
See, but he's not. He like JR plays great defense and he can shoot threes.
That's true. If he's paying attention.
Yeah, and he'll be motivated to play here. Plus, Daryl Morey hasn't met a problem guy he wasn't willing to take a chance on.
That's true. That's true. Like, and he'll squeeze good months out of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Like Josh Smith. Like
Corey Brewer.
Yeah, like Morial to roll the dice on guys like that. But I could definitely I actually see both maybe being Rockets as the because like they're not gonna get PT in Cleveland, they're tanking.
Right.
I could see both being being Rockets next week. We'll see.
Hmm.
That's something I'm leaning.
Brandon Knight or Marquise Chris, something like that.
Yeah, Knight's gonna be tough to trade because he has a fully guaranteed contract next year. So it's got to be a team looking to tank 2 years.
Right, right.
Like a third team.
Well, that means Cleveland, then that's Cleveland, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like they're not, yeah, that would work. That would work for them because that's a lot of money coming off the cap next year. But I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be a big splashy name like we get Jimmy Butler. I think it's going to be those kind of moves.
I don't think we need a Jimmy Butler. I mean, I think, like, I don't know, if we get J.R. Smith sitting on our bench and we start Kemp Bazemore, I don't know what we got to give up for that.
Yeah.
Hopefully not Eric Gordon. It might be James Ennis. But
I think Gordon's untouchable. If we weren't going to give up Gordon for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I don't think it's.
I don't think Gordon's touchable. Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, I don't know what we trade for Kemp Bazemore. Probably picks.
Oh, I think that's why we're seeing a lot of Hartenstein.
Right.
Yeah. I think trade is exactly why that guy's playing quite a bit.
Okay, so and he's doing better. So yeah. So I'm probably like Hartenstein.
Oh, that guy hustles. Like I'm okay with keeping him. Like that guy plays his ass off.
He finally seems to be figuring it out, man. But that guy was just like he just looked like Big Bird out there for the first like 3 weeks of the season.
Dude.
But yeah, he seems to be getting it together. But see, okay, yeah. So yeah, but I think the big question is where are all the Wizards going, and when are they going?
You can't trade Bradley Beal.
You can't trade him unless someone's giving you an all-star or some unprotected first rounders, right?
I don't think there's a lot of all-stars going around this year. I'm outside of Washington.
Not all-stars, like potential all-stars. Like yeah, for example, if you're the Wizards, do you take Brandon Ingram a first and spare parts for Bradley Beal? I'd hear that out. Brandon Ingram clearly isn't happy in LA. That's why he's being so fucking punkish.
He needs the ball, but yeah, I could see that. I wouldn't say no to it because that GM and coach are gone.
Right. I don't know about Scott. Well, I'm going to just say they should consider keeping Scott Brooks if they're going to rebuild because I think Scott Brooks' true talent is talent development. I think Kevin Durant became Kevin Durant under Scott Brooks. So did Russ Westbrook. So did James Harden. Right. And I think that so did John Wall and Bradley Beal. I think he's clearly good at maximizing talent. He just doesn't command a locker room, and he's not a great X's and O's guy. He needs to go somewhere and just be an awesome assistant coach. But if you're going to rebuild, I'd say consider keeping him so you can maximize your talent. And then once you hit your first 48-win season, you fire him.
But the thing is, like, they can't trade Wall. And Wall is the reason Scott Brooks gets no respect there. Like, all the things I've seen, like, on Twitter is, like, John Wall has no respect for him. Everybody else has respect for him. John Wall does not.
So, I got two. So, here's the thing about John Wall. His contract is kicking in, and he has a trade kicker. So, if you trade him this season, you have to pay a tax on the trade.
Yeah.
And, or a tax. I think that actually it's just a fine to him. I think he gets a payout. So it makes it even more expensive. So the chances of him being moved this season are low. It'll probably because it expires.
Yeah, he's not moved.
The kicker expires, if I remember correctly, at the end of this season. But let's presume that somebody is desperate. Let's not forget that Blake Griffin got traded for at the beginning of a 5-year contract. So there are desperate teams who cannot get all-stars other than through trade, right? So in that situation, I'd love to see Indiana take him. I'd love to see him next to Victor Oladipo.
Why you want to do that to Oladipo?
Hey man, look, the Beal Wall, the Wall. I don't know what it is. Like Wall's not Westbrook though. Other players have had good years with Wall. I don't know if he's just hard to get along with in the locker room. I don't know if him.
Like those guys hate each other.
I don't know if it's chemistry or if one of them is a bad actor, and we just don't know which one. We always want to blame Wall because he's the sort of centerpiece and we expect him to be the leader, and when you're the top paid player in a locker room and your locker room sucks, the guilt falls to you, which might be fair, right? I don't know that it's him specifically. It's not like he's Gilbert Arenas bringing guns to the locker room. But Indiana just seems like the kind of place that they don't get stars otherwise, right? So trade a couple picks and you know, and maybe one expiring, I don't know who it would be, or somebody disappointing. Like, you know, give him Miles Turner. He's not that good. And I would love to see that. I actually think Oladipo and Wall would be fine together.
I'd rather Kemba go there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think Kemba's staying. Yeah. But actually, I'd love Bradley.
Yeah, they can't get rid of Kemba.
I'd like to see Bradley Beal go to Charlotte, but that's impossible. Charlotte has nothing to offer.
No.
Not if the Lakers are offering Ingram and
Charlotte needs to be tanking anyway. Like, there, it's not happening. Like, no. you guys are gonna have to draft two superstars.
Yeah, you gotta trade them for picks.
Yeah. Yeah. Other trades.
Otto Porter.
Who else might move? Otto Porter.
He's the middle ground, right? Yeah. I'd love to have Otto Porter. I don't know if we could afford him, and I don't know what I'd have to give up. But I'd take Otto Porter.
No. Yeah.
40%. He's like the ultimate. He's like young Trevor Ariza, when he tries.
Yeah, protected first rounder. Hey.
Protected first rounder. Marquise, yeah. And all our, and the, everybody on our bench, not named Eric Gordon or Gerald Green.
Yeah. No, you can trade Gerald Green.
My heart won't let me. You know, I'm winking at you, but my heart refuses to accept that.
Yeah, I'd rather keep Clark.
I think Clark's the one they'd want.
Yeah, Clark's got. He's probably gonna have high value. But
Clark,
I'd like to keep Clark.
Clark, Hasenstein, Green, and Knight. Or
oh, that's too much.
Wait, Chris. Chris and
yeah.
Clark, Hasenstein, Chris, and Knight, and a pick for Otto Porter is probably too much.
That's too much. That's way too much. Yeah, and you're probably going to have to take back a bad contract just to make that trade happen.
Otto Porter is the bad contract.
No, I know, but you probably have to take another bad contract.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Oh.
What about Anthony Davis? You see that?
Hold on. It's on my screen right now. Anthony Davis open to joining. Hold on.
This is five teams.
Celtics, who else?
76ers, Lakers,
Knicks,
and the Pelicans, staying with the Pelicans. So the Pelicans, yeah. they all right, here's the thing. If they trade for John Wall, which would probably take, like, I don't know, Solomon Hill, Etuan Moore, everybody not named Drew Holiday, basically, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it would probably take, like, Solomon Hill, Etuan Moore, and a pick, and maybe two picks, something like that, right? Because you're absorbing that contract and they're moving off the money, so you probably, I think if they offer you that, you take it if you're the Wizards.
Yeah.
So now you got John Wall, Jay Rude, Anthony Davis. If Anthony Davis then signs an extension, you do it, right? But you need him to guarantee he's staying.
Yeah.
But Jay Rude, John Wall, and hopefully a rejuvenated, engaged John Wall and Anthony Davis, that's a defense I don't want to fuck with.
Yeah, I think he's going. I think he's leaving. I think he's a Laker.
So where do you think he's a Laker?
I think so. I think he's just going to go sign with the Lakers. That's going to be good for his brand. Like, no one can compete with that. Like, the branding, like the money that you can make outside of L.A., being in L.A., and the spotlight you get playing with LeBron.
So what is then the question becomes, what price do you pay right now if you're the Celtics to get him for 2 years? Because he's not a free agent next year. He's a free agent in 2020. So what trade? You're Danny Ainge. What trade do you make? Given that you probably have two more awesome first rounders you haven't used yet, what trade do you offer to the Celtics now for Anthony Davis?
Probably something with Hayward. You put in Gordon, you put in Rozier, probably, most likely, Marcus Smart, a couple of first rounders.
That feels to me like low balling. I think it's got to be.
You think you got to get Tatum?
Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, do it.
Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and a first.
Honestly, I think Danny Ainge would trade Kyrie. We would trade anybody to get Anthony Davis. Like, I don't think anybody's safe for Anthony Davis. Al Horford. Yeah, you got to throw Horford in. Yeah.
I don't think he throws in. I think that Horford and Kyrie are untouchable specifically because those are your best veterans, and Anthony Davis is going to stay if you convince him you win.
They traded Isaiah. I think Kyrie is as good as gone.
No. Here's the thing. I think that those players being there is key to convincing Anthony Davis that you're in for the long haul. If you trade him to the Celtics and Horford and Kyrie are gone, that's like a lateral move for him. That's not a home court advantage team.
Well, it depends on what you think of Rozier, Tatum. Like, it depends on what you think of those guys.
I think you know what I think about those guys. I think that if you take Kyrie and Horford off that team, even if you add Anthony Davis, it's a best at lateral.
I think, but Anthony Davis is a once in a generation talent, and Boston Boston can get people.
Right, but then if Anthony Davis walks in 2020, you just give away two players for nothing.
True.
Like, if he signs an extension, if he doesn't sign a trade, yeah, take anybody on my team.
I know. I think the only way he's getting The only way he's getting traded is if he's already agreed to extend it.
Right. So if it's a sign and trade, take anybody on my way. Take anybody. Like, I don't care who you take, right? Take your pick, any three guys. You know?
I don't think they can trade him though.
What do you mean? Why not?
Because without him, basketball dies in New Orleans. Like, he's the only thing keeping that team there.
Not if you get Kyrie.
No, Kyrie's no. Kyrie don't sell seeds.
Really? You don't think so?
No.
Hmm.
No. Anthony Davis barely signed a seeds, and he's one of the three best players in basketball.
Well, you like, know what?
Kyrie don't fill seeds.
All right, well, let me put it this way. Sidebar. Yeah. In that case, what team do we need to move to get Seattle a team again? What team is expendable? I think the New Orleans Pelicans are... I think the New Orleans Pelicans, the Washington Wizards, and the LA Clippers. All of you, like, none of you have history. I don't know to what extent...
The Wizards have a title.
They do?
Yeah. The Bullets won a title.
Oh, man, I guess I just forgot that. Was that in the 70s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess that counts.
No, the Bullets got history. The Pelicans don't. I mean, the Pelicans did, because they had the Jazz. New Orleans has history.
They're not supporting their team.
No, because it's New Orleans.
If you're not supporting your team, I'm just saying you should have to lose. Yeah. You shouldn't get to hang on to it. But yeah, they.
No, I think Sacramento is the most expendable.
Oh man, but they're the best joke.
No,
that's true. The Kings are.
But
pretty...
I think like the team, I mean, or the Clippers.
I think
like,
it's the Clippers. I think it's clearly the Clippers.
Are clearly the best choice to go to Seattle.
Right. Come on, Ballmer.
No, it's too much money in LA.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's just too much money.
Yeah, people, I mean, they sell tickets.
Yeah. And they're in a fucking fun team. They beat the Rockets twice, like stomped our ass. And it wasn't because we were struggling. No, they're good. Like, I think the Clippers they're going to be in the playoffs.
There's a question. Who are the eight playoff West teams? Here's the thing. I think the East is catching up to the West in terms of...
I think the East might be better this year.
It might be. In terms of fielding legitimate contenders?
Yeah.
Because they got four legitimate Eastern Conference...
I don't think Boston's a contender right now. Boston doesn't look like... The Bucks, for sure. The Bucks, Sixers, and the Raptors, yes.
I would put the Sixers down with the Celtics in terms of potential contenders.
Oh, with Jimmy? They got Jimmy now. I think they're a legit contender now.
Oh, I think...
The way Embiid's been playing, did you see that New Orleans
game? Yeah, no, he's got MVP numbers.
The way Embiid is playing, like Jesus Christ.
Can I take the push? I think they're both going to be, but aren't yet. I think... Okay. I feel better about 76ers because they have Butler. Okay. And I think they got one more trade coming to fill out that bench. I think Fultz gets moved somehow.
No, he needs to get moved, like for his sake,
even if
to save his career.
Yeah, maybe they're like Cleveland for a couple bench players. Like I could see them trading him to Cleveland,
just somewhere that's gonna suck where he can get plenty of playing time.
Yeah, yeah. So I could see him getting traded for I don't know what are the vets on that bench? Carver and maybe they take J.R. Smith, right?
Yeah,
like, I could see that trade happening.
Yeah,
because that's a win now move, right?
Yeah,
and I could see that happening. And I think Boston, I don't know, I just feel like maybe this is leftover Eastern Conference logic, but it's just like, it's Eastern Conference, it's not that hard, they'll get home court advantage. But
yeah,
that's not true anymore. So, I don't know, I think they're gonna be a contender, but it is weird that they haven't even shown real flashes of it yet. They haven't put together any, like, impressive streaks. But the West has, I would argue, one made contender, obviously the Warriors, and one...
Yeah. Good. You mean the team that's winning it?
Right. The Rockets would be the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the team that's winning.
I don't know if we look like a contender right now.
I was trying to say that we're the team that's going to win it. But I would put us in the 76ers Boston one.
No, I think the Sixers look better than us. I think we look like a top 10 team right now. I don't think we're in the top 5.
Right. Well, I was going to say, I would say the same thing about the 76ers and the Celtics put a different numbers than top 10, based on the fact that, like, these teams wouldn't win now, but I also believe that we haven't seen their best version yet.
I could see the Sixers winning now. I legit, like, once they got Jimmy, like, I could see it. I was, like, just with the way it seems like he's going to click with Embiid, and he's just going to push Embiid to a new level.
Well, let me put it this way. How many teams in each conference are potential champions at their best case scenarios? I would say those teams are Boston, Philly, Toronto, Milwaukee, Houston, Golden State. I don't think any other team at their best case scenarios are championship contenders.
Not the Thunder or the Nuggets?
Well, obviously the Nuggets, because I bet you two beers that they'd win it all. So, yes, the Nuggets. Yeah. No, I'll never believe that Russ can win a championship. That Iverson style of play doesn't translate into championships. It never has.
Yeah, but their defense is so good. And they haven't even gotten their best defensive player back.
I'm going to say no. I don't believe in them. But I guess I wouldn't be shocked. They do have two all-stars. They'll
be able to switch everything. Like, and if Russ even tries on defense... Like they can fit the blueprint.
Right. I still say no.
Because that Rockets game against the Warriors showed that the things that we made them struggle with, they still struggle with. They just didn't have Steph there to fix it, because Steph fixes it.
Right.
But the things they struggle with, if you make them Kevin Durant's team, you got a shot at beating.
Yeah, if you turn them into the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the Rockets almost did it. I think the Thunder have the best potential to do it again this year, just because they have the most defensive flexibility.
I guess the second half of that equation is really good, targeted, strategic ISO play to force the game to a pace you want.
And you want Russ for that.
I don't want Russ for that. I don't think Russ is...
Russ can get to the rim, man. Russ can get to the rim. He'll take some terrible threes because he's too goddamn tired. Now, that's on his coach. Make sure he's got enough wind, because when Russ is running to the rim, Russ is going to get to that rim. And that, I think, shit, as long as you got one guy that can get to the rim and get you easy buckets, you got a shot.
I guess I don't believe that. I guess because for Russ, for me, I love Russ, first of all. I love Russ.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite players to watch. I love Russ. Yeah. But his driving and his getting to the rim, kind of like Kyrie, except less precise, but it doesn't make other players better. His assists are always dump-offs. Like, there's no system to it. Our ISO ball has a system to it, right? There's moving pieces. It's not just... It looks like just dribble, 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 but there's more of a chess element to it, where the Thunder are just chaos, and I don't think you beat the Warriors with that. I don't think his ISOs are strategic. They're just athletic.
Yeah, I think that's enough, though.
I guess I don't.
I think that's enough. Like, as long as you, because once you get if let's say they're in a 7-game series, so game 7, everybody's fucking exhausted, and it'll be just like it was at the end of the when the Cavs beat them, and when the Rockets lost to them. It's gonna be everybody's tired. Who can just get a bucket right now?
Well,
and I think Russ is one of those guys who can do that.
I'll give you that. If you can keep it close at the end, and Paul George, I don't know, unreliable in the playoffs, I think. Or at least has improved reliability yet.
That's definitely for sure.
So I just don't believe in them, but you know, we can leave them as an asterisk. But we definitely agree Denver isn't, we don't think Denver can beat Golden State, right? You can't use your best player. Jokic could get eaten alive. Yeah. Draymond Green's gonna destroy that guy. So, and I love Nikola Jokic, but I have no illusions about who he is. He's not gonna get he's Marc Gasol with no defense, right? So no thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I love him. I'd have him on my team of ours, certain teams, but I don't think he can beat the Warriors. If you're Denver, you're looking towards a post-Warriors future where that sort of ultimate switchiness isn't going to work against you, because Nikola Jokic can't play that, right? No. So they're out. So now we still have 7, so we still have more in the East and in the West. Even if we put in the Thunder, I don't put in the Thunder, but I'll tune in for the sake of the argument. We still only have 3. Yeah. And the West has 4, assuming, like, I would actually put Boston and Thunder at the same level. I could see it, but I don't really believe in it. The thing that keeps me putting the Celtics, like, who we just won over,
but here, is that the
they have so much young talent that it just seems like somehow they're less than the sum of their parts, where I think that the Thunder are more.
Well, but here's what I want to say. I think the West may have more teams. I think the East 3 are better than any of the West 3. I think if you look at the Warriors, the next 3 teams who have a chance are all in the East.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I think the Raptors legit could beat them. I think the Bucks legit could beat them. Philly, I don't know yet, but I think the Raptors and the Bucks could beat them. And that's because they both have a once-in-a-generation talent.
Right. I guess I don't believe in the Bucks and the 76ers to that extent.
No.
But I can see it. I can see it.
No.
I definitely see it with Toronto.
I think this particular Warriors team is very beatable.
Right. There's some in
him. Here's the thing. I don't think this year's team is as good as last year's team.
Well, if anything else, people know how to beat them now. We showed people how to do it. We would have beat them.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we had Chris Paul, we would have beat them. We would have beat them in six.
But probably.
Definitely. I mean, obviously, that's not how it worked out, and anything is hypothetical, but.
No. I mean, we still may have a brain fart and miss 27 straight threes,
sure,
you know?
Sure. But, I don't want to litigate that. A lot of those were out of character threes, right? Unset up, off the dribble stuff. Sure. Like, you don't want Trevor Ariza taking off the dribble threes. He's going to miss that. But anyway.
Yeah, they can't, like, they couldn't afford a major injury to one of their stars, and they have two of their stars hurt now. And Steph's injury, they've been real coy about, but when they suspended Draymond, I was like, oh, Steph's really hurt. Because I don't think you do that unless you're kind of worried if Steph's going to play all year. I think you just roll with it because Steph will come in and fix everything. I think by doing that with Draymond, it wasn't about next year. It was about this year.
Well, I mean, they are being real coy about it, and one of my fantasy teams is fucking suffering for it.
Yeah, we'll evaluate, like, the we'll evaluate after Thanksgiving is we don't want to tell you how long we really think he's going to be out.
So, here's the thing. Is Steph injury prone?
Yes. He's been injured pretty much every year.
Yeah.
Last year he missed, what, 20 games? Like, before the run, he was missing 20, 30 games every year.
That's something we don't even talk about when we talked about Steph.
Well, because he's so amazing when he's in there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
amazing. Like, I hate him, but I got like mad respect. That guy is like one of the greatest players I've ever seen in my life.
I don't hate him. I love him. I love his low key arrogance.
It's not low key.
I do hate his maybe understated, because Draymond's the up key, right?
Arrogant. And I love Draymond.
Yeah,
I fucking love Draymond.
I love Draymond.
I hope he's a Rocket one day.
Right. Oh man, here's a question we talked about. We were talking with a buddy of mine about how satisfying the Chris Paul Rondo fight. This applies to this conversation. Mm-hmm. It was that, and I love Chris Paul, so as a disclaimer, I'm going to say that. But it was satisfying to see two dudes in the NBA who both clearly deserve a punch in the mouth give it to each other, Rondo and Chris Paul. So here's my question for you: who are the NBA players that you can think of that just really need a punch in the mouth?
Ooh. Kevin Durant.
Number one, right?
Yeah.
That is the fakest stuff. I still have this sort of secret thing that, like, Boogie is the mole on the Warriors. Boogie hated Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And he's there to ensure the breakup. Somehow he's like the worm tongue of the Warriors locker room.
I hope so. I hope that was his greater plan.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Would you put it past him?
No.
No, because that guy is so unpredictable.
He just needs a year to recover. He knows this is a down year. He's like, hey, maybe I can go fuck that up.
Yeah,
get a ring, maybe.
Yeah, get a ring. No, or better yet, I can claim credit for breaking being the Yoko. Does Joel Embiid deserve a punch in the mouth? And if so, who do you want to see give it to him? I don't want him to get one. I don't want him to get one. I love it. I love his shtick, too. That is not a repudiation by any means. But I don't know. I kind of want to see what would happen if he fought somebody. Like, let me put it this way. Let me put it a different way. You don't think Andre Drummond deserves to punch him in the mouth?
Probably does.
Right?
If anybody does, it's Drummond. Drummond should punch Embiid in the mouth.
He kind of should. He's kind of a punk for not doing it.
Yeah. Someday. Since fights are back now. Like, real fights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of anybody else who I'd like just right off the top of the dome. KD was number one.
Brandon Ingram trying to throw a punch from behind?
No, that was – if you watch it from different angles, kind of like more he was just trying to protect – like help his friend. You know, like that's the kind of punch somebody throws like when their boy's in a fight.
All right.
So I don't really – like I wasn't mad at that one. Like, you know.
It hit real bad from some angles.
Yeah, it did, but that's like the Michelle Obama George Bush hug. Like, the photo makes it look like it was more of a thing than it was. You know, it's just I think Steph needs to get punched in the face.
Steph Curry.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you know those games where like where they're just like they're getting their ass kicked for fucking three quarters, and they're all like, and then when the moment they go up, they're like, oh, dancing in their in your face. I'm like, I'm okay with you talking shit, but just like the selective shit talk like that, like, oh, now things are good again, we're talking shit, like, no, fuck you, like, fucking bring that shit all the time, bitch.
Who do you want to see punch him in the mouth?
Draymond.
That'll never happen, man. Those are boys. Those are boys. That's big dog little.
I'm sure LeBron wants to punch him in the mouth.
He would never do it. Let's see. Who would love to see punch who Steph Curry in the mouth? Man, I don't know. Maybe Drew Holiday?
But he's random.
He doesn't seem like the type, though. Yeah, I don't know.
Make it Monte.
Monte Ellis?
Yeah.
Bring back Monte for one game on a 10-day contract? Mm-hmm. Just to punch Steph Curry in the mouth.
I should have been. This should have been my legacy.
Maybe Lou Williams?
Nah, Lou ain't punching nobody.
Yeah, he's too.
He can't hurt them hands.
Man, I can't think of who would do it. Yeah, I can't think of. See, because Steph is also kind of like. He seems like, if not well liked, mostly tolerated.
Actually, you know who should do it?
Who?
David Stern.
What?
Yeah, David Stern.
I have no idea how that could happen, but I'd be down with it. It should be David Stern trying to punch Nate Silver, and Steph just jumps in the way and takes it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I want that. That'd be a crazy story to hear. All right, homie, you got anything?
No, man.
Well, I'm going to go.
Happy
birthday. Right, thank you.
Do you know when you're coming to Texas again?
Yes.
Are you
the 18th. I'll be there.
So it's December 18th?
Yeah, I'll be there for 2 weeks.
Cool. All right, man.
All right, homie. Well, I'll see you then. I'll see you then and talk to you soon.
Cool. All right, man. All right, man.